We sing that wee chorus, He lives, He lives, He lives within my heart. What's that? I'm not sure. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this just before we turn to the Word of God. God bless you all tonight, and those that's listening in tonight. I wasn't sure whether to do the online tonight or not, but it's on. And the Lord bless those that's tuned in, and each one here as well. God bless you this evening. Praise God.
Server is in sin.
Tonight to the book of Romans chapter 5. And as a young man of 15, I used to read chapter 5 over and over and over again. My wee lad's a song that he plays, I don't know the name of it, but it's over and over again till I'm tired hearing it. But I'm never tired hearing the Word of God. And I used to sit at my grandmother's tilly lamp, my grandmother Thompson, near Dromore, And I can hear the old lamp, the night, and the light of it, and there was a wee noise of it, that you used to pump it. And it would dim down a bit, and you'd pump it up again as about 15 years old, and I would sit and read over Romans chapter 5, and read it 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 till it fell out of the Bible. And I had a blue Bible then, and I went to the brethren, Mother Farnigan, and I thanked God for the brethren, because they have a habit, and it's a good one. They learn you the Bible. It's a real good habit. And I tell you, we need the Bible when we're young, the Word of God. And there's a man called Tommy Alderdice and his wee wife, and you know, they used to take me every Sunday for dinner, and I never forgot it. And then there's a Norway man called Joe Poots, and I'll never forget the day Joe came and bought me a pair of shoes for church. And I wore them shoes till I could wear them no more, and they were still good. And I handed them down to somebody else, and they wore them. They never wore out them shoes.
Amen.
Joe Poots bought them shoes, and I've told that testimony all over the world. And God bless Joe Poots for buying me a pair of shoes. And I believe that. Do you know why I believe that? The Bible says, and as much as you've done it unto the least of these my little ones,
Amen.
You've done it unto me. If you give a glass of water, you'll in no wise lose your reward. Thank God for men and women with vision. Amen. And I thank God, and that wee Bible, I still have it somewhere, and the pages is out of it. And I love this book of Romans. Let's read from verse 6 till 8 of Romans 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth. He commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners. Praise God. Let us bow our heads again this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we love you this evening because you first loved us and you gave yourself for us. Lord, we feel a tremendous sense of your presence tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your presence means everything to us. Lord, we pray that everyone in this house and tuned in tonight will feel a manifestation of the mighty presence of the Lord. We do think this evening of the late Pastor James McConnell's wife. Also this time we pray you'll touch her, Lord, and raise her up. In the name of Jesus Christ. And for others bereaved, strengthen and comfort them. And for the widows in her midst, bless them and strengthen them. In the name of the Lord. I take the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do. Pray you'll save souls. And you'll set men and women free by the power of the gospel. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. While we were yet without strength, weak, and powerless. That's the way we were. Every one of us was weak and every one of us was powerless. We were without strength. It's great to have strength, isn't it? You know, I can remember my father, and I remember as a young boy being hit with a car near Bradgie's shop in Dromore. I think I was about 9 years old, if I was that, maybe 7. I was only a young fella anyway. We had go-karts. We used to come down the hill on them. And with ball-bearing wheels on the back of them, the faster they could go, the better. And you wanted them that they slid. And if they didn't slide, they were no good. And they slid about, and we thought this was great. And half times they landed in the middle of the road before they stopped. But Tommy come across the road, and then Tommy, he decided to go back across. And there's a boy coming down the hill in a car, and he hit me right on. And I smashed the lights of his car. He was drinking as well, that boy. I have no time for drinking and driving, I'll tell you that. That boy, police should have been got for him, really. But my dad never got the police. But I can't remember much after that. All I remember after that is opening my eyes up and looking into my dad's beard. and looking up into my dad's face, and he was carrying me up over the hill. And you know, I thought there was nobody stronger in this world than my dad. And you should know him, he was strong. Now, us fellas are strong, but I'm telling you, I reckon my dad was stronger than all of us. That's my opinion. He was a strong fella. And he didn't take any Joe Weider supplements to get it. The genes is in the McKinsey's, the strength gene, whatever you want to call it, it's there. But my dad was strong. And I looked up into his eyes and he carried me over the hill. And eventually they took me off to the doctor and he could find nothing wrong, and they took me off to the hospital and they could find nothing wrong. But the lights was broken in the car and the car was damaged, but it was God. God's hand was on me as a lad of 7 years of age. I believe that in this pulpit tonight. God wanted me to do something when I was older, even though I didn't know about it. But I'm telling you that tonight, and I can tell you things I seen my dad doing. Lifting the back of a Mercedes car one night, the fella had no jack. And he lifted it, and the fella changed the wheel, and he put it back on it again. He'd done a lot of things like that, news or stunts he'd done. His brothers could tell you about stunts he'd done. Well, when my dad was dying, all that strength went. All that power went. And I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter how strong you are in your youth or how strong you are in your middle age, your strength one day will go. And every one of us have to acknowledge tonight, in the light of the Bible, we were without strength without Christ. Because we're sinners by nature and sinners by birth. While we were yet without strength, we were weak, powerless to help ourselves. Not one man with his own strength could save himself. That's the wonderful thing about this Bible. It puts every one of us on the same plane tonight. We're all on level footing. No matter if you're 7 foot or 5 foot or 2 foot. Amen. Or how broad or small or whatever. Or your brown hair, black hair, whatever color your eyes are. It'll make no difference. All sin. And come short of the glory of God. And we're all without strength. In the eyes of God. And we need God. And we need God's lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. But it says here in this latter part, at the right time, at the fitting time, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly in due time. That means the right time, the fitting time. Another verse says at the end of the age, at the end of the world. And it means that's the time of the ending of the Old Testament dispensation. Christ came at the right time. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ we can be saved. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that any one of us will ever see God. Amen. And if we don't receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we'll never see God. Now, I told you that picture. My father carried me up over the hill, and that's probably like a feather in his arms. But I never thought the day that I would carry him in my arms. And I did. Before my father died, I carried him in my arms. That's the strength of your flesh tonight. That's the strength of man tonight. Man at his best, the Bible says, that man is like the grass of the flower. It cometh up for the season, and it withereth away. We need the Lord tonight, and the Lord's strength. I tell you, it's the power and the strength of God we need this evening. The things that Samson done, Samson didn't do them because he trained himself to do them in any human way. Samson did the things he done because the Spirit of God moved him. Amen. And enabled him to do them. That's how Samson was able to do them. When we were yet without strength. For when we were without strength, that's the way every one of us was. Every one of us come into this world, we're born sinners by nature, we're born sinners by birth. It don't matter what family you're born into, and I'm going to say this here in Ulster and other islands. Only Christ will save you. And you can wear a sash, and you can wear everything you want to wear. But if you're not saved and born again, you're lost. Then I'm going to turn it on the other side. If you're born a Catholic and you visit the priest every day of the week and confess to them, you're still lost. Amen. For the priest's a bigger sinner than you. For the fact that he's willing to hear your sins makes him a bigger sinner. And the Bible calls it priestcraft, which is the same as witchcraft in the eyes of Almighty God. There's only one we can come to. The one that God has appointed to take away sin. And the one that God has appointed to take away sin is his lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's appointed taking away of sin. Christ died for the ungodly. Not for the righteous, but for the ungodly. I thank God tonight that God loves sinners. The Lord loves you tonight. The old devil would condemn you. He'd trap you into the gutter. He'd bring up all the things and the mistakes you've made and the things you've done. And he'd say, God won't hear you. But God has made provision. Amen. That he can hear you. Right. And that provision's through his Son. Mm-hmm. And there's only one provided place of worship tonight. There's lots of buildings round the town here and round the country land. And there's different names of wee lodges. And they're all lodges. For there's only one true church.
Right. Amen.
One true church.
Amen.
There's only one chosen place of worship, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's God's chosen place of worship. And the Bible says, for two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of that to bless them. Christ is the chosen place of worship tonight. If you're in him, you're in. It's not great. If you're in him, you're in. Not matter if you're not in any lodge or any movement. It's Christ you need to be in. For when we were yet without strength. You know, sin leaves man weak, leaves man helpless and hopeless. Apart from God, it leaves man without strength. Man is utterly unable to lift up or save himself. As a weak baby born in sin and unable to do anything for himself, so is man without Christ. That little child depends totally on his mother. Is that right? It can't do nothing for itself. It's dependent upon his mother. And just as a mother loves that little baby, and I know there's mothers in this room, and I have a big baby, he's went back to New Zealand, he's 23, and my wife still loves him. 23. And I know she'll not mind me saying that. He's still our baby. And I'm going to tell you, it'll not matter to me what road he turns or where he goes, I'll still love him. Because he's my baby. And I tell you tonight, you need to stop looking with a judgmental look. With a righteous look. I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that. I hear it all the time. You'll do anything if God takes his hand at you. Nebuchadnezzar went down to eat in the grass because God lifted his hand. We need to pray for sinners because God loved them. God loved them. God loved them so much that he sent his only begotten Son, special unique Son, the whole way to Calvary to save them. That's how much the Lord loves them. And if we're the children of God, we should love them. The wee fellow that's a drunkard, God loves him. The wee girl that's naked on the corner, God loves them. Do you know that's the Bible? You know that wee fella that climbed the tree and he knew the Lord was coming. He was a wee small fella. Zacchaeus, and he climbed up the tree. And everybody was shocked because Jesus says, I'm going to your house today. He didn't think he'd go to a house like that, but the Lord did. He went to the house of publicans and sinners. Places that nobody would want to be seen in. The Lord went there. Because he loves a sinner.
Amen.
He loves a sinner. Right. And my friend, the Lord Jesus loves you tonight. Let me just read you this. And that's just exactly what the human race is. We're absolutely, totally lost. We're not sufficient in ourselves. We've got to have the shepherd to lead us. and to guide us. We're lost without it. We cannot save ourselves, no matter how good our program may be. No matter what kind of motives we have toward that program. What is your alternatives? Or what you get out of what your church is. That's all fine. Nothing against it. But without the shepherd, you're lost. And you're only fighting the wind through. You must have the shepherd. It's a shame, but there's churches in this country tonight and they don't preach salvation. They think if they do good to their neighbor, they're going to go to heaven. And if you have a neighbor, do good to them. Do them real good. Yes, that's my opinion, because I'm saved. But that won't save you. Only Jesus Christ will save you. And he can save your neighbor as well. Here it tells us also in our text this evening, in due time. In due time. Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time. In due time. According to the time. At the right time, Jesus came. At the right time. He's talking about coming to the end of the Old Testament dispensation. And then all the bullocks and the bulls and their lambs and their turtle doves and their pigeons, they were all substitutes. But the real, genuine thing was coming. Jesus Christ himself. And he was absolute perfection. He fulfilled the law. He healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. He opened the blinded eyes. He says, I do cures today and miracles tomorrow. That's the Lord. Amen. Everywhere he went, the Bible says he done good. It actually says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus Christ sets the oppressed free because he loves them. When man sinned, he crossed a great chasm between he and God and left there no way back, but God was full of mercy. He took a substitute and a lamb was that substitute until the fullness of time come when he, God, made flesh to take away sin. And now there's not even a chasm there between a man and God, because Father and Son, there's no sin at all. It puts him in the sea of his bleach of forgetfulness and cannot even remember them no more. Your sins are gone and they're gone to stay. God has forgiven you of your sins if you're saved. If you're repented, your sins are gone. Somebody could come up to you and say, I remember you, and they'll do it, it'll happen. They remember the old man, don't they? But the Bible says if you're saved and born again, you're a new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus. You're heirs with God. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're seated in heavenly places with the Lord tonight. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Galatians 4 verse says, chapter 4 verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Why do you think the Bible says made of a woman? That's to let you know that he's on your standard and my standard. God made his Son of a woman that he could save us. Tested and tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. And made under the law. Made under the law. What a Savior. Romans 3 and 25 says, for God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 21, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. There's a lot of things we learned which is tradition. You know, this country's full of tradition. Whether you want to hear it or not, that's absolutely the truth. We have so much tradition, it's a joke. There's hardly in our country with the tradition we have. Now, I know it's quiet in here, but I'm not taking it back. That's absolutely the truth, I'm telling you. Tradition. So much tradition. My father wouldn't have done that. My father wouldn't have done something else. But there's a whole lot of things we learned of my father. The It was wrong, wasn't it? Because the Bible says it here. Traditions of the Father. I could tell you things tonight, I'm telling you now. Real simple things, but they're tradition and they're false. Absolutely fake. They take you away from God, they'll not bring you to God. Tradition. Oh, we've lots of tradition. We've wee sayings too, haven't we? We've whole wee sayings. There's that many wee sayings. And people believe them. They believe the wee sayings they have. And you're almost sure of a certain person. You know one of the big sayings over here in Northern Ireland? Good luck. What is good luck? There's no such thing as good luck. Your path set out by God. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He will direct your path. He's a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. It's not about luck in it. Absolute nonsense. Well, you meet people, good luck to you. I don't want good luck to me. I want God's blessing on me. What about God bless you?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When it's good luck to you. Don't touch the furry tree. I remember a man telling my dad one time, he went on a site with a dozer and he said to him, don't touch the furry tree. But he blinked his two eyes, the tree was in the head, was down. The first stunt he done was he took her down, for it was nonsense about the furry tree. He leave his 10 pence under the pillow. The furry tree. Tradition. Fables. The Bible calls it fables. Man-made fables. Paul says we haven't followed cuddly devices. Immediately. That's the truth. He looked at him. But you see, it's all ideas. The fact of the matter is, every one of us is born sinners by nature and sinners by birth. And Jesus Christ is our way out. It's the Lord we need, not tradition.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Oh, it's God we want tonight. Look what it says here, you're redeemed. Not by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not, you've been delivered from tradition received by your father. Delivered from tradition.
Brilliant.
Why would you go back to tradition when God delivers you from tradition?
Amen.
My father done such a thing and I have to do it. If it's off God, that's good. But to see if it's not, forget about it. Stop the trend.
Amen.
Buck the trend.
Yes.
What they say in America. Amen.
Amen.
And follow the word of God.
Yeah.
Verse 19. But the precious blood is Christ of a lamb without blemish and spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in this last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and give him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Amen.
Your faith and your hope's in God. And hope maketh not ashamed, from the same book of Romans, for the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Great.
Hope. Isn't it great of hope? There's a lot of people without hope tonight, but they're following tradition.
Great.
They're depending on tradition. You know, there's a lot of poor people tonight, and I'm but serious about this. They're still paying for people that's in the grave.
Yes.
And they're paying for them in the grave to get them across from purgatory to heaven. And it's because of man-made tradition they're doing it. But it's only tradition, purgatory, not the Bible. It's heaven or hell. And Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he bridged the gap between heaven and hell, and he wants to save you the whole way to heaven. He doesn't land you in limbo land. He takes you the whole way and saves you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. With his precious blood, the precious bed, and there's no other man could add £1 to it. It's and say, Lord, I'll take you. I'll simply take you. The Lord will have you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I tell you, the gospel's simple. And it's free. Thank God it's free. It's free tonight. God loves you tonight. At the right set time at the end of the age of the Old Testament, Christ came, Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself a ransom for all. For all. Do you think God would save my neighbor? My Bible says all. Oh, but he might be predestinated. I think that you'd better leave that to God. Do you think you're God? Well, I can assure you, you're not God. Amen. Leave it to God. Just keep praying for them. Amen? I don't care if he's a Protestant, or a Catholic, or a Hindu, or a Muslim. Jesus can still save him. Right. And the Lord loves him. Amen. Amen. Amen? He died for all. The Bible says all. Lord. To be testified in due time. This is the time to testify that Christ died for all. We need to go forth to the lost and dying generation and tell them Christ died for all. Red and yellow, black and white. All that's precious in his sight. Christ died for all. Titus 1 verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. There's life in preaching because God ordained it. Preaching is God's ordained way. There's people say, I don't believe in preaching. We follow a wee program and we don't believe in preaching and not shouting and getting excited. We don't believe in it. Well, the Bible has ordained preaching. And it's through the foolishness of preaching the gospel that it pleased God to save. And the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. Amen. Then Paul the apostle says, that I might know nothing else amongst you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ can save all. Oh, I thank God for that tonight. I thank God we're not working with something that's limited. That's right. Mm-hmm. There's preachers working with a wee limited. They have a wee limited message. Right. Limited atonement man. They're Mr. Limit. That's it over now. The lost one's in and we're going. Well, what if you're here in 50 years? What did you do in them 50 years? Did you preach for 50 years? It's over and we're going. What about the people in the 50 years that didn't receive? Right. Amen. They need to hear the gospel. Yes. What about them? Some of them are own children. Yes. Now let that sink in tonight. Some of them are very own children. What about them? Oh, that God would save them. Yeah. That God would move them. They need the gospel. Oh, those Holy Spirits. Moving on me so much, telling me again and again. See all these wee things I have here and there, wee sacks and isms and asms. They're all a waste of time. It's the gospel that we need to preach. It's Christ we need to preach. It's Christ we need to bring the people to. It's Christ we need to uplift. It's Jesus Christ that saves. It's Jesus Christ that heals. And Jesus Christ that's coming again. And he loves you tonight. Young person, he loves you. God loves you. He really loves you. And he wants to save you young. I wish I'd have served him sooner. That's what I wish tonight. From 1989, I'm serving the Lord. I've one regret that I didn't serve him sooner. I made my first real decision of salvation in 1984. And from 1984 to 1989, the devil told me I wasn't saved. But when he came to me, he told me he loved me. The opposite. The Bible says the devil's a thief and a robber. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. But Christ loves you and wants to save you. Amen. Hebrews 26, and I'm going to finish in a moment or two. I'm not going to hold you as long tonight. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When you read that phrase in Hebrews, now once in the end of the world, it doesn't mean the finish of the world. It means the end of that dispensation of the Old Testament time. Christ came. He came at the right time. God sent his son and the fullness of time was come. Does it read that in your Bible? For read it in mine. When the fullness of time was come. That's the right time. That's Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Fullness of time was come. God sent his son. God sent the best thing he could to this world. The best thing he could send was salvation through his son. The Old Testament was good, but it failed. They said that you could never be perfect through it. It was only a schoolmaster, that law. It only pointed a substitute in all them old sacrifices. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God himself, was coming. And he was going to save. And he was going to be a savior and a healer. And a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he's a coming king tonight. God had a specific timetable concerning the plan of redemption. I believe that. Man died when Adam sinned, but God had set aside and foreordained his plan of redemption that has been and will continue to be manifested in these last times. Notice the Passover lamb was to die after 4 days in a set time. Notice the phrase, end of the world. This word here, end, can mean finished. Well, might this now be here yours, because all types, prophecies, and promises concerning the suffering of Christ were accomplished in the end of the world. Now, the Bible reads that Jesus came at the end of the world at the right time to go to the cross. That doesn't mean the actual finish of it. It's how it's phrased. This phrase, end of the world, is derived from a word that signifies age or continuance. At the end of the age, Christ came. He came at the right time. Oh, he's never late, you know. You know, we often think the Lord's late. I prayed and nothing's happened, and it should have took place, and the Lord's late. The Lord's never late. Amen. He's never late. How many knows he's always on time? He's always on time. Now you could read all through Exodus. I haven't time to go through Exodus tonight. But in verse 8, I'm going to close. Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Chapter 6 of Romans is all about Christ dying for the ungodly. Chapter 8 of Romans is all about Christ dying for us sinners. Chapter 10 of Romans is Christ died for his enemies. And you go on and you can read here, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's the way it reads. Some people would help a fellow if he was good, wouldn't it? But if you're a rascal... A real rascal, you wouldn't help him. You wouldn't stop, would you? Is that the truth? But Christ died for us rascals. For us sinners, Christ died. I'm going to stop this evening. The Lord loves you tonight. I don't know who's tuned in tonight, wherever you're tuned in from. The Lord can change you. The Lord can change everything for you. Maybe you have a wee habit and a wee thing you can't change. And you'll fail and fail time and time again. I know that's absolutely the truth. You will fail. But if you'll give it over to Jesus, he'll break the power of canceled sin. And he'll set you wonderfully free. He'll change you in a moment. In a moment, he'll change you. And whatever sort of power holds you, the Lord will break it over you in an instant. He's able to do it. Let's stand our feet this evening. Let's close our eyes tonight. If there's anyone in this service this evening, and you would say, Brother Tom, I need to get right with God. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand or do any of them wee things. And that would be all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want you wherever you're standing right now. Maybe you have someone in your life that you can't seem to overcome. I want you just to surrender to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Take over. Come and take over. If you're listening in tonight and you're not saved, you've never been saved, God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord loves you, young woman. The Lord loves you, young man. Christ died for you on the cross. And he wants to save you. And all he wants you to do is accept him. Repent of your sins. And come to him. And take his wonderful, beautiful name. The name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight that you died for sinners when we were yet without strength. Lord, we're glad when our strength would fail that we're looking to you. We're looking to you tonight. I pray your blessing on every man and woman in this room. I'm asking you that the Holy Spirit will move to men and women that's listening in tonight. May the Holy Spirit speak to them. And may somebody get saved and come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Lord, if there's anyone suffering in their body, sick or afflicted, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ they'll know your touch tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless each and every one of us now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother Gary comes. Don't forget our prayer and Bible study Thursday night at 7:30. And then next Sunday morning, our brother Laurie's going to have a preaching. Pray for brother Laurie. And I'm so glad our brother Laurie's with us. And may God strengthen him and bless him.
Amen.
Pray for him.
Amen.
For the spring of youth to come on him. The anointing of God.
Amen.
God bless each one.
Let us sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What